You know this place is just filled with turtles?
Dude, really? Have you found a lot of turtles?
Yes. Hey, cool. Stop checking your phone. We're recording a podcast here, buddy.
Sorry. Tell me about the turtles.
Yeah, so... if you walk, like, towards the water over here, where it's a little more swampy, instead of, like, to the dock, you'll just hear, like... of turtles all go because turtles are Pokemon and Pokemon can only say their own names.
Turtle.
How would a turtle sound if it was a Pokemon? Just like, you know, Squirtle has to be like Squirtle.
I don't know. I don't know anything about Pokemon.
You don't have to. You just have to know about turtles. How would they sound if they, you know, were going to say their own name?
I'm going to say slow.
Turtle.
Not that slow. I feel like tortoises are like for turtles.
Sound like I was a haunting ghost in a scary movie.
Turtle.
It does kind of look. Oh, you put that rope up. We're outside.
I didn't put that rope up. Oh. That's been up here. Yeah. Welcome to the first outdoor cast.
Yeah.
From That's Nature, brother.
Oh, wow. We're just going to talk about trees. What kind of tree is that, Tyler?
That's an aspen, because the way that it is.
I was thinking that exact same thing. I knew it. It's just, I don't know, it's a big old boy, I guess.
I'm okay.
It has like a little hole for creatures at the bottom.
It does. It's very cool. Mystical.
Very, yeah, that's very
It's very Robin in Wonderland.
Robin in Wonderland.
Yeah, you haven't heard of that new reboot they're coming out with?
Dang.
It's like Robin Hood mixed with Alice in Wonderland. That'd be a wild story. Like, because Robin Hood obviously, like, you know, kind of, like, takes from the rich to give to the poor. So maybe he's going to this fantasy world.
I was thinking of Peter Pan.
When I said Robin Hood, your thought was Peter Pan?
Yeah. I don't know why, but that seems like a better crossover, Peter Pan and Alice in Wonderland.
No, because
it's kind of the same
thing.
They're
both magical. That's too easy. That's why Robin Hood and
it's too easy?
And Robin in Wonderland.
That's
I can't.
Too easy?
Who, Alice? Why can't I think? That's too easy. They're
How's
both magical.
That too easy? Now you got to figure out how Captain Hook would talk to the cat.
I'm not saying it's not cool, but like they're
eyes.
Robin Hood and Alice in Wonderland are more different to the point where it'd make more an interesting and intriguing story.
Well, Robin Hood is like a man, and like everybody in Alice in Wonderland, Peter
not
Pan
if
is
you're
like
looking
a kid,
at the Disney commercial
you know?
Where he's a fox, a Disney cartoon.
Oh.
I can't speak today.
Commercial.
The Disney cartoon. Remember Robin Hood when he was like a little fox?
Yeah. When his buddy was a bear.
That's really the sequel to The Fox and the Hound, if you didn't know.
Except the hound's just fucking gone. Is there no?
Yeah, he died at the end of that movie. Spoilers.
I can't remember.
Nope, me
Disney
neither.
Movies. Yeah, one of them. If anything, doesn't the fox die because he's
Man,
like
you
in
know
the
how
wild?
Depressing Disney movies actually are. Like especially some of the. Well, I guess it's not the Disney movies themselves, but it's like what the Disney movies are based off of, like you know the princess stories and all that stuff, and apparently like actually
like
super depressing.
The Grimm brothers fairy tales or whatever.
Yeah,
that's like Hansel and Gretel, but it's really about like they just fucking get eaten and shit. And I guess that one's already weird. What they changed?
What a good cartoon that would be, you know?
Hansel and Gretel. Didn't they made a Hansel and or is that actually
no,
not
I just,
come out yet?
Yeah, just
a live action movie.
Just get slaughtered. It'd be a very, like, Happy Tree Friends version. You got Hansel and Gretel, you know, walking up all happy, and then there's this witch, and like, oh, no.
The last
and the witch
30
like,
minutes of the show is just
you.
The witch carefully preparing, like, she's already killed the two kids. She's just, like, cutting them up to best eat them. That's it. It's just like a cooking
but
show,
yeah,
but
it
it's fucking horrific.
Show. Yes, but it changes to a cooking show.
I do love
and this
boy
is...
arm.
And this is how you must slice the child meat.
this is a good child haunch we got here.
you see how the fat is nicely marbled throughout the meat?
Marbled.
That's a good piece.
Wow. Marbled. What does that mean in cooking?
It's like when it's marbled throughout, it looks like marble, you know, where it's kind of
that doesn't sound good.
Like, I don't know how to explain it. It's like red, but then there's like white lines that go throughout it that make it look like marble. That means like there's fat distributed evenly throughout, so you have the taste, but it's not a, like chewy. That's a prime cut of child right there.
I don't like the fat in Jesus.
Nice slice of Hansel.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I don't get the witch's plan because the fat's the worst part of the meat for me. I hate that shit.
Yeah, that's why it's got to be marbled.
But like even infused in it, that doesn't sound good to me.
Hansel's a...
I want lean meat
all the way. Hansel's a brisk teenage boy.
No,
you know?
But she's literally trying to fatten them up with candy.
Yeah,
all just the fat that you give to the dog
again,
on the steak.
We're rebooting this. We're taking this on our own. It's okay.
She's feeding them like straight protein in our reboot. What are you looking
at?
You
have dude? Eggplant socks on.
Yeah, just the one though. The other one's just dots.
Meanwhile, I have no socks on.
Dang.
But yeah, we're outside
feet
today,
picks?
Guys. And
in the description, feet
I
picks?
Mean, our Patreon coming soon. Maybe Dang. We can put feet pics into one of the tiers.
Mm. How much would you charge people for your feet pics?
However much they pay.
So nothing.
I'm just kidding. How about you? What is your line? What would you what
would I show online?
What is your line as far as like what would you?
I have no line. There's just a price.
Dang. Okay.
It's probably exceedingly expensive. Well, probably not that expensive.
We're gonna move on.
You want a picture? I'll do it for the right price.
We're gonna move on. Please don't reach out to the That's Movies brother email with requests. Anyways, yeah, we're outside. I figured it'd be a good ambiance for the Planet of the Apes. We're in our own redwoods over here because we were talking about Planet of the Apes today. I mean, that's not really the sole reason why, but it does kind of fit. So
a little bit. It's a good fit. But before all that, Tyler,
what's
gosh,
up?
Don't jump the gun.
No, I was just letting them know what we're doing.
Don't jump it. Don't. What is that? What is that phrase from? Jump the gun. Why do people say that?
Don't jump on the man who's holding the gun because he'll shoot faster than you. It's just thinking before you. It's not thinking before you act. I mean, that makes sense, but I just made it up.
It does sound like some like I hate all those old phrases have like really dumb explanations. You know, like.
Act before the proper time. That's all it says.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Start doing something too soon.
Trying to figure out where it came
from. Act
too
hastily. For example, the local weather bureau jumped the gun on predicting a storm. It didn't happen for another 2 days.
All right, whatever. I've lost interest.
I have not.
It was 4th of July this past weekend.
Oh, cool, dude.
Oh, well, how was your 4th? Did you celebrate America? 244 years old, right?
When was the 4th? Was that Saturday?
Yeah, that was Saturday. Mm-hmm.
No, I worked.
Oh.
And my work was nice enough to make us, as we were working, as we were serving or whatever, we, our
American
manager
flag pie
made burgers and hot dogs for us.
Oh, that's kind
of
neat.
Which was nice, and, you know, free food, but that was the extent of my 4th of July.
Mm.
Yep.
Fun.
And there, I didn't get any, like, it was just a burger, like a piece of meat and toasted buns.
Wow.
But I put some barbecue
toasted,
sauce on it.
Nice.
And it was good.
No cheese? They weren't offering cheese?
There was no cheese.
They did not offer you a single slice of American cheese on the 4th of July?
I mean, I guess I could ask for one. What did you do for on the 4th of July?
Honestly, nothing all that crazy.
Cool.
We shot some guns. That was pretty cool. That's pretty American. That's pretty hip.
That's it?
Yeah.
You brought up this whole thing to say you did nothing.
I was hoping you did something.
I told you I ate a burger at work, and it was very slow because it was the 4th of July, so no one wants
to
go out
to eat. I told you I shot some guns, which reignited my want to shoot guns again.
I just feel like anytime you do anything, you're like, I like this. Just like when we rode
done
like
things
motorcycles.
Yep, and I'm just
motorcycle
like...
Motorcycle scooters. I want a motorcycle.
I want to shoot guns. Yeah, I'll think about it for like 3 days and then it'll be over.
You're
I won't
like, nah.
want it anymore. That's true. But
so,
it was still
guess what
cool.
I did?
Yesterday?
Day before. Couldn't remember. Day before yesterday. I'm
not going to guess.
Drove my car up to my work. I had to drop something off.
Nice.
I wasn't working, but I just dropped something off and then went to get back in my car to come home.
Right.
And I locked my keys in my car.
Oh, you silly,
and there is
silly boy.
Nothing worse than locking your keys in your car.
Do you have a spare key though, or
nothing
a key
worse.
Fob or something, right?
So I thought that I was going to have to pay somebody to come like unlock my car, but I remembered I had a key fob of the house, but I had to get a lift home, and I felt so bad because I didn't have a mask on me. And when you sign into Lyft, it's like you have to check all these boxes, like of saying like things that you know like you're agreeing to do.
Yep.
One of them was like you must wear a mask, and I was like,
Did you just hold the bottom of your shirt up to your nose?
I didn't. I almost did, though. I almost unrolled the window and stuck my head out the window the whole way like a dog. But I felt like the driver was, like, judging me. But I was like, I wasn't prepared to get in a Lyft here.
Yeah, I don't know.
And regardless if you, like, if...
I guess he's probably wearing a mask. Yeah.
And, but yeah, I had to get a ride home. And then, luckily I had the fob. At the house. What does FOB mean? What does FOB stand for?
Forward Operating Base. But FOB, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think that's the same thing.
Yeah, we're just looking up definitions of things now.
I'm sweating already out
It's hot out here. This was a mistake.
Free?
That was Rise of the Planet of the Apes, everybody.
What does FOB and Key FOB stand for? Free on board or freight on board?
The fuck?
The origin for fob as in key fob goes back to either Middle English fobbin or German hoope. I wish I had told you to pronounce that. You could have been like fup.
Fuppa.
Pocket or the German. There's another one.
Fopen.
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 Meaning sneak proof.
Sneak proof.
Free on board or freight on board is a common retail shipping term used to indicate who is responsible for paying transportation charges. This has nothing to do with a key
fob. Wow. My key sneak fruit. Sneak proof.
Sneak fruit.
Sneak fruit.
Eat some of that fucking sneak
dumb.
Fruit.
Turn your phone off. God
Dude.
Damn it.
Oh, stop it. Stop.
Stop. Sound like
yelling at
wait,
me.
Who's that? Who's that weird mayor from one of those kids' cartoons?
Oh, the Powerpuff Girls. Stop it!
Yes. Thank
we
God you knew.
Girls.
I would have never made that. I knew I had a very vague connection there, and I never would have made the leap. Thank God you knew what the fuck I was talking about. Holy shit! I was thinking of like Mr. Burgermeister from the When Santa Comes to Town cartoon. It's not even close.
His name isn't Burgermeister.
Yeah,
is
it?
I don't know. I don't know. Mr. But yeah, that the mayor
Burger
for the Powerpuff
Meister,
Girls is great.
Meister Burger or something. Burgermeister.
Where did the Powerpuff Girls? Well, that was a
wasn't
cartoon
there like the secretary or I don't know what the proper
like a
term
sexy
is.
Secretary
yeah,
who's
like always
five times taller than this guy. You know how short that man was. He was walking around at a crisp 1.5 feet.
Yeah, she was only like 5'6" canonically.
How tall is the mayor in Powerpuff Girls?
Mm. Why was
the mayor
villain...
is married to a woman who looks very much like him?
That
although
is
apparently
not...
their marriage is rather. What mayor of Townsville? This is Barney
wow.
Vincent.
Barney is that his like a character name?
Guess how tall he is.
What is he supposed to be like? He's like 6 foot.
6'4".
Six, what the fuck?
210 pounds.
Dang. My boy's a beefcake.
What? Who is his wife? I'm looking. I have to look up his wife now. Oh, here she is.
It's just like him without the mustache.
This is so wrong. I don't know where these facts are coming from because she's only 5'8".
And they're the same height.
No, she's 5'8", and he's 6'4".
The woman is his wife? The secretary?
Yeah, I guess so.
There's something going on there.
And, yeah.
Maybe, like, she's just always on, like a pedestal or something.
No, they're just wrong. That's just like when you look up Peppa.
Yeah, it's probably just somebody going back and, like.
When you look up Peppa Pig.
Oh, she comes out to be, like, she's, like, 7 feet tall. The Lister is, like, 7 feet tall or something like that. Like, super big.
This report is the young animated pig is 7 feet tall.
Yep. Boom.
Began after one tweet went viral. Oh, but now there's another one saying it's only 3 feet 9 inches.
Mm.
People are getting out there and getting the truth out, you know? So, whoever you are.
Peppa, you
go
dirty.
Find the, go
Peppa, you dirty bitch. We know you're not 7 feet
you
tall.
You dirty pig. You're a pig.
Man, Powerpuff Girls is a weird fucking thing that we were just okay with. I mean, it's like...
I'm still down. You know what cartoon was great? Kim Possible. Love it. Fantastic.
That's a Disney cartoon. They're all too vanilla.
Nah,
compare
good...
what happens in Kim Possible to anything that happens in Powerpuff Girls.
What do you mean?
Fucking whack, bro. It's like this weird man makes three...
There were parts
like,
of that that's almost like
8-year-old
slightly
kids.
Inspired by anime, it seems. Like when they're like...
Oh, that's probably really true.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
When, like,
what's
flying
that
through
one...
the air and it's like... Yeah!
What's
and
that
like...
one really famous... Anime.
Mojo Jojo?
What the fuck?
The monkey Mojo Jojo? Anime. That... You said, I think you said
no,
anime.
No. That's has like the girls and they wear the weird shit and they're like powerful. You know what I'm talking about.
I don't.
I don't watch this shit, but I know this has been around. Oh my gosh. Hold on. This is not
Sailor Moon.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's got to be what that's based off of. Which one came first? That was made in 1992.
I don't know if it was actually based off that or not, but
come on, like looking at it,
sugar, spice, everything nice. You know, they look very different.
Puff
they look
girls.
Very different.
Well, of course they actually look different, but like I don't. Well, yeah. Fuck. Maybe.
All right, we've been going too long here. I'm ready to jump into apes. Are you ready to jump into apes?
Apes.
So, last week we had a. Update kind of episode, mini episode thing.
We lied to the people.
Which we thought we were going to start on the Planet of the Apes, but we didn't. We're doing that now with the new Planet of the Apes movies, starting with Rise.
I thought all three of these were directed by Matt Reeves. Totally wrong. This first one's not.
The first one's not?
It's by a totally different guy.
Interesting.
Rupert Wyatt. His name, and he's only done like a couple of things that you might recognize, like The Gambler with Marky Mark Wahlberg. I never saw it, but I remember seeing a lot of trailers for it on TV and shit. And that's it. That's all he's done.
Well, if you haven't seen Rise of the Planet of the Apes, go watch it.
Yeah, don't listen to this, fucking fool. No, but okay, for real. So this movie, I think the big thing that I remember from this was that back when I watched it, because I remember actually going into the theater in like the general time, because it's back in 2011, so we would have been like sophomores in high school at the time.
Yes. No.
Yes.
No.
No?
No, it would have been freshman or whatever. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
We were in high school.
I don't know why we're focusing on that. I remember that there was a really famous story of a woman getting her face and hands ripped off by a chimpanzee, like right before this movie came out.
Really?
Yeah. And I say right before. It was like a year and a half before this movie came out, but it was a really big news. It was called like the monkey was called Travis the Monkey. He was a chimpanzee, which are these? Yeah, he looks just like one of the chimpanzees from the movie, doesn't he? So one of them.
I mean, it was like a pretty stereotypical chimpanzee, my guy.
That's what I'm saying. No, but he like, I don't know, just was owned cool monkey. But man, so I remember that was a big thing, that because especially there's a couple scenes in this movie that are like, oh God, flashbacks. Because, like, he attacks the weird neighbor guy and stuff like that.
Protecting, dude. He'd be protecting, bro. He'd be protecting his family.
Yeah.
Let's not jump in, you know, too deep here. We'll start out. You know, I feel like we started to do when we started talking about movies is we used to give, like, our soft, like, opinion before we spoiled things. Yes. I think we just kind of threw it out the window,
we
huh?
We totally did. Yeah.
Which I'm kind of cool with because...
I mean, we did it like a hot take before
like I've
we,
said
like,
before,
reveal anything.
I feel like...
Anything's a spoiler? Anything?
Yeah, I don't even like saying, like... Like, if someone tells me a movie sucks, like, that's one thing, and maybe that's, like, the least, but I still get a conceived notion of it, because then it's like, oh, then I go in with a specific feeling where I just want to go in how I'm going to go in. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm going to start doing to you, is that, like, if I have something recommended to you, and you've never watched it, but I have them, it's like, yeah, it's terrible. But everyone likes it for some reason, and then you're going to go in, and you're going to be like, actually, well, I don't know why you said it was terrible, it's pretty good. Like,
well, usually those don't affect me as much, because I usually don't trust people when it comes to that, because I'm like, I'm going to have my own opinion. But if they give anything, even if it's like, Yeah, I like where they took the characters. I don't even like that. Like, I don't like anything. I don't want to be focused on a specific part of it before I go into it.
Like the characters?
That's me.
I don't like focusing on the characters. Fuck them characters. I'm there for the pretty lights, my guy.
So, what did you think? How many times have you seen this movie?
Not a lot.
I think this might be my third time watching them.
Yeah.
I want to say I've seen them more than once.
Gosh, I've definitely...
But the last one, The War of Planet of the Apes, I've only seen once in theaters.
Yep.
So that's kind of the one I'm most excited to see, just because I remember, in my opinion, again, we're just this preconceived notions after not seeing it after a while, is that was my least favorite of them. But I can't remember exactly what happened. So I feel like it'll be more fresh. Well, yeah. I knew pretty much everything that was going to happen in this one.
Right. I remember seeing this in theaters, and then I don't think I ever actually watched it again, because I think I saw all three of these in theaters, and then I never watched them again. But
really?
I do actually like them, especially the second one, but we'll get there. But for the first one, I just remember feeling like it was just okay. I wasn't blown away by it at all. But on rewatch...
We will talk about the second movie, and obviously the third.
Yep.
But there's a chance that I'm thinking I'm going forward, I might like the first one the most.
Wow.
But I don't know, because I remember watching them before and going, I like the second one the most. So
yeah,
it'll
I think
be...
the second one is the like kind of known as being maybe the best or the most favorite out of the three.
What I love about these movies is that they're just so, at least the first one compared to the other ones, I feel like they're so different.
They're vastly different. I kind of wish, from what I remember.
Just the development of the story and the characters, I don't know. I like it so much. But, so what do you think? Another quick recap for you.
Yeah.
What do you...
But going back, watching this again, I did actually enjoy this movie a lot. I do have a couple of things that bother me about it, but it was stronger than I remember for sure. And I had... I remember watching it, just rewatching it. It's pretty ballsy, actually, because it has a lot to set up and kind of try to get you into this world and kind of trying to make a grounded way for a Planet of the Apes story to happen, kind of in our current day society. And it does a really good job. I really like the first half of this movie. A lot. Starts to kind of wean off from me a little bit in the second half, and we'll get there. It's nothing to do with Caesar or the apes. All that stuff is gold. It's all the human stuff that loses me in the second half. But
You focus more on the apes in Caesar in the second half anyway.
Yeah.
So that's for me, like, it didn't lose me throughout the second half. I liked the fact that it seemed to pick up the pace throughout the second half.
Yeah,
but in
no,
a way
I like
that
too.
Didn't feel I literally wrote one of my notes. I said, this is escalating so quickly, but it's working. Because I've seen so many movies where they try to escalate stuff quickly and it seems rushed, but I'm like, this just makes sense. Like, I don't know. I really liked it. And that's part of the reason that I was really liking this movie is after, since it's been a while since I've seen them, I remember Caesar as, this powerful leader of the apes and stuff, and because in the second, in third movie, you see more of that side of him. Like, you don't see this fun-loving ape, almost childish side of him, which I guess he is a child, but, man, when I was watching it, I was like, man, I miss that. Like, because he played it, Andy Serkis, I guess, played it so well, way that they put it across. Because the second that he turns to going, all right, it's over. I'm helping my people now. I'm helping the apes, kind of thing.
Yeah, because this
like,
whole movie,
his face changes and it never goes back to that. Like, oh,
yeah,
just happy chimp, and you're like, I miss him because he's just this fun loving chimp. Even when he helps, he attacks the neighbors to help protect. What is his name? Will, I think. Will's dad, the main character?
I'm just going to call him by their actor name because I can't remember.
It's really bad. That's the one thing we got to get better at when we do these movies. But I wrote it down just to make sure it is Will.
Okay.
So Will...
Will's dad.
Played
Will's
by Franco.
James Franco. I am on the fence about old Franco
here. But really quickly, even when he attacks the neighbor, like, you see him get, like... ferocious and have to use that, but he still goes back to his kind of fun loving self when he goes into the room with all the other apes. That big open area, he's like, he rolls the little ball at them. They're all like hardened at that point. He's like, oh, what's going on, guys?
It's like,
I love it. And then the second that he gets like kind of beat up and stuff, it's when Will comes back and he's like trying to get him back, and he thought he was gonna be able to get him. He's like, not yet, you have to trust me. And at that point he is like, I don't trust him anymore, kind of thing, or at least thinking that like this is not going as obviously planned. And then Will leaves, and he kind of basically goes back to his room and like destroys that like picture, the window symbol that he paints on there, whatever. And then, like, it's from that moment that when his face shifts, he doesn't go back. And it's almost sad, but it's also amazing character development.
It's fantastic. Because, I mean, like, that's what I guess 60% of this movie is kind of just, like, establishing Caesar's kind of, like, fall down into what's going on. But I guess, do you want to start from the beginning? Or?
No, well, quickly, I do want to finish recapping and basically say, like, the what I like about this movie is... obviously I'm a big fan of like character development and stuff like that, but showing like so they do character development with an ape, or really a chimp, I guess, but whatever.
He's an ape.
Better than a lot of movies I've seen for humans.
And it's almost kind of like
I'm so
asking
impressed.
The question, what does it mean to be human?
But I was very impressed. So this movie to me is an amazing story of character development and seeing this person, this, you know, ape, I guess, go through what he's going through and the decisions that like he has to make. And I don't know, it's just done so well, but also with the mix of how they interact with humans. And then the second half gives you this vibe. And I wrote this down where
it's Monkey Shawshank.
Monkey Shawshank. So it almost gives you this vibe of, I mean, Rampage was absurd. The movie Rampage, because you had giants and all this stuff.
I was like, what are
you? But they're
you
giving
talking?
You, they're almost giving you this crazy. Like if they just showed that scene at the end where the monkeys are all together flipping a bus and pushing it, and they're attacking from all the different sides. If you just shoot that scene, probably people would be like, this is crazy. But it makes so much sense. The way they build the characters and the situation of what's going on in a way that they make seem so real and make you feel for them makes that scene play off like to where you actually care. This is a movie like a crazy, almost, I don't want to say a monster movie, but an absurd movie about, you know, humanizing these creatures and doing crazy things and crazy feats where there's like a war between freaking apes and people, but to where you actually care about it and make sense. Like it's that done right. And you've seen so many of those where it's just about the spectacle that they don't take the time to actually build the characters. And some movies like that are good because they know what they're doing. And so they can add a little humor to it. And they know it's just kind of a crazy quote. And this isn't a monster movie, but that's the biggest, best example I can give. And so they play into that. But this movie, like you said, is ballsy to the fact of they wanted to make sure that they could – they wanted to break that mold and say, we can make a movie like that, but you're going to care about these people and about these creatures.
Right.
And so it's not going to be just silly and cool just for the spectacle. So when the spectacle comes, it actually gave me chills because it like meant so much and was so cool. But anyways, that's, I guess, my wrap-up of the entire thing.
No, I mean, that was kind of my point as well, is that they're trying to make a really grounded version of this story that takes place in, like, modern time. Because have you ever seen the original Planet of the Apes?
No.
1968?
And I want to. Have you?
Yes. It's a very different, like, there's a lot of, like, reference stuff in this, but, like, the story of this is completely, the whole trilogy is completely different from the story of the thing, which is fine, but it's just showing that, like, you know, because in that one it's very much more, like, future-based kind of a deal, so they don't have to deal with, but trying to set this kind of crazy idea in the current day is, and, you know, that's what I'm saying. It was like, man, that's trying to make that grounded like
that. Speaking
of that, very tough. What?
I have an interesting fact.
Ooh.
It says, this is not a sequel or reboot.
It's definitely a prequel.
It's a preboot.
Preboot.
So it says, the original Planet of the Apes, which came out back in 1968, was about an astronaut who traveled to a distant world ruled by super intelligent apes, only to discover in the end that he was actually on Earth. in the far future.
They blew it up.
But this latest version of the franchise, Rise of Planet of the Apes, takes place in an alternate version of the present, making it neither a sequel nor a prequel, and it's not a reboot either, but the rarest of them all, a preboot. Which is interesting, because do you remember when they said that they lost, in this movie, there was an astronaut, and they, like, lost him in space?
Yeah, yeah, there's a newspaper article that says lost in space.
And
yeah,
it was on TV, too. No, it was on TV. Like, there was audio that they showed it on TV, which I think was a nod to it, but also the fact that they could be like, that's the astronaut that goes away, and then you have all these movies, and then years in the future when the apes get intelligent enough to just completely talk like humans and be as ridiculous and crazy as those originals were, which I didn't... see, but that's obviously what I've heard about it, is in theory, this could be a weird prequel. And they say a preboot probably because, like, they're saying that version of, like, the astronaut coming back into a future world can now exist, but it would be different. So they're rebooting it, but they're rebooting it from the past.
Right, yeah. It would have to be, because there's not enough time, like, the astronaut, unless they did some weird, like, interstellar near a black hole, so, you know, aging was off or bullshit, you know, way he could be
able to,
yeah.
So what we're going to have to wait for is wait a few more years, and they're going to come out with the real reboots of the Planet of the Apes.
Well, you know,
the
they're actually
different.
In talks to make a fourth one.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That will, I don't know if it'll have, if they're planning on having Caesar still in it, but it will.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't remember what happens to Caesar
anymore.
I know,
that's what I was just thinking,
like,
to myself.
Did
he doesn't die. I don't think he does.
For some reason, like, thinking back on the last movie, I'm thinking, I feel like he wasn't in it as much as the other ones for some weird reason, but I could be wrong because it's been so long.
Yeah, I remember the last one has a really cool opener, and it has a lot of Woody Harrelson.
Yes.
And that's about it. I guess just going from the beginning. Sorry, my mind is all over the place.
Yeah, I guess so.
Is there a bee
behind
me?
There's a swarm of bugs behind you. This is the new way of recording.
We get eaten by bugs for an hour and a half.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess we can just kind of start from the beginning if that's how you want to, that's how you want it.
If that's how I want to do it.
Let me start really quick here with the, with the beginning.
Anytime.
So I'm going to get into this more into the second movie too.
Yep.
But, this movie is what's going on right now in the world.
Yeah, this is like a total...
This is the perfect time to be watching this movie.
I didn't realize, especially with the second one as well.
Especially the beginning of the second one, which I don't want to talk about because
like
we're going to talk about
that. It's like straight pandemic shit, and it's really funny. Because I had totally forgotten how, like... I knew that, like, they talked about, like, because the simian flu that eventually comes from the virus that Franco basically creates, you know, kind of kills off like most people.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting way to do it, because if you watch the end of this movie, there's no way that like they get from where they're at to like ruling the world. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Without a bunch of people dying off, like the apes at the end of this, at the end
oh,
of
you're
this
saying
movie,
it was
there's
a
no
smart
way
to
yeah,
do that.
There's
okay,
no
yeah.
way that you get to where they are in the actual like original movie where they have like people enslaved.
I think it's nice.
Basically.
I guess that it makes it a little more contained to kind of follow the story better and focus on the characters to do it this way.
Yeah.
Because if you did it just an all-out war where they kind of escape and they build up their army of apes to the tens of thousands over, you know, 10 to 20, 30 years or however long that would take.
Right.
And then they attack just the entire world. Like this is a nice way to set up for that next movie where it can be more contained in a very interesting style where it's almost post-apocalyptic, which adds a whole new element to it, which is cool. But
I want to ask you one big thing about this movie in particular. What do we think about James Franco?
Well, first of all, really quickly, because I'm not off of this. Apes, do you remember that story that we talked about a while ago where monkeys did escape some lab that had to do with, like, COVID testing, like, with COVID vials?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Wasn't it in, like, India, I want to say?
Monkeys escape with COVID-19 samples. So that's why I said, we'll talk about especially the actual disease part when we talk about the next movie, because there's so much I want to talk about how it relates to now.
Right.
But the one from this one is when they escape the lab and all that stuff. I'm like, that happened. I was like, just give it some time. We're going to be living in this world. You know what
it's
I mean.
A little
this is
different.
The closest in history we'll probably ever get to matching, which is so funny that we're doing this right now. But yeah, monkeys snatch COVID-19 blood samples after attacking a lab worker in India. It's just so weird, bro. It's so funny.
Yeah, I know. That is, there are some weird coincidences because we didn't had no plan of that. We were just like looking at different trilogies and kind of like multi-part series
to do. It has to do with it,
and yeah. We were just like, oh yeah, let's do the monkey one.
Monkeys grabbed and flooded with blood samples of 4 COVID-19 patients who are undergoing treatment. After footage went viral, oh, there's footage, dude. What a monkey.
Okay, so are we...
Look at the monkey, playing? Dude.
You know, that's... Yeah.
I don't know. I'm hoping it's not copyrighted.
Oh, I'm not worried about that. That was just bad audio. I'm
telling you, dude. They're going to drink the vials, and they're going to become super intelligent.
Or just, I guess, maybe get a little sick.
Or...
That's the thing.
Or...
COVID's not nearly as cool as the simian flu.
I'm just telling you, though. In the movie, it was... They were trying to create a vaccine. The vaccine comes out for COVID. If monkeys get a hold of that,
but I'm trying to think. The actual virus, well, that's more of the second movie than it is the first one. So we'll leave.
Yeah,
that
they were trying to
right
cure
now.
Alzheimer's.
Yes, yeah. But they did talk about a vaccine because he knew that it made people sick because it was making his dad sick, James Franco. So then he was like, "I'm coming up with like a." I thought he said vaccine for
what
he's giving
his dad
them.
Sick.
The what he actually 112.
No,
yeah.
So 112 was not making people sick. It was when they reinvented it to 113.
No.
Yes. Listen.
No.
Yes. Because 112. The 112, the only issue with 112 was that he was taking it for years. He took it for, I think it was like 5 or 7 years, something crazy, and it was fine. And he said that his body was producing antibodies to it, so he had to then create something that was more aggressive because his dad was degressing.
Oh, you
and
are
then
right.
He created 113, the guy in the lab, his mask came off, mm-hmm. He inhaled it, and he was dead within like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it was the new one
right.
That was, whatever they did to make it more aggressive was dangerous.
Man, I tell you what, that is, there is a big missed opportunity in my eyes for this movie because I really liked, so I couldn't quite remember exactly how the story for this, rewatching it, played out with James Franco and the businessman, David, I don't know how to say his last name. You know what I'm talking about. You know, the guy who's like in charge of the company he works for, Genesis or whatever. So what I thought that they were going to do, because obviously Franco comes up with 112, it shows promise to work in apes as far as like enhanced cognitive ability. He brings it to, you know, the boss guy and they're like all happy about it. And then obviously Caesar's mother comes in and like, tear shit up and they have to shoot her and stuff like that. And then it gets abandoned. And then so, but Franco has like his personal invested kind of motivation because of his dad has Alzheimer's. So he's really trying to cure it and that kind of stuff. So what I thought they were going to do was that they were going to have Franco like be the reason why the flu actually really came out and like killed everybody. Because he was like a desperate scientist trying to cure his dad, and also the Caesar stuff comes in. But so I thought that was kind of where they were going with it, and I thought that would be a really cool idea because even though you can empathize with James Franco and you want him to be successful against big businessman, but big business guy saying no to it, no, it needs more testing, blah, 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 ends up being the right choice. So it's like the optimist versus the pragmatist kind of, it's like this terrible thing because it's like, like I wanted that to work and I wanted to feel good, but then it's like, well, no, he actually was the reason, even though he had all these good intentions, he ended up killing everybody because he was overzealous about, you know, making his thing. I thought that's the direction, but then they do that for like the first half, and then as soon as the antibody situation that we just described comes in, then it's like big business guys like doing it super fast. He's like, let's streamline it, let's get it out to people right away, like all this shit, and it ends up being his fault. And you know, which is, I mean, I don't know how you feel, but
to be fair, the reason it actually spread was when James Franco's character Will were testing on them. That's how it started. That was patient zero. They were testing on him, and that was when James Franco was all down for it at the time.
No, Franco goes back and is like saying, "I'll quit. It's not ready." Like
yes,
they're not.
Yeah, but that was after the guy got infected.
Well, he didn't know. He storms in after that and saying, like,
no, you shouldn't
be testing on any
James
of these.
Franco was in the room. James Franco was the guy that said, "Put your mask back on." Because in that, when there were two other people in the room testing on Koba, Will, James Franco, walks in and goes, what are you doing? We need to, you know, we're not ready for all this or whatever. Right before Will walks in, they go, where is, I don't know his name, the guy who got infected. Like, where is he? He's like, I don't know, he's been out for 2 days sick. And then Will walks in.
But Will hadn't been around. He had just popped in.
Will was there and told him to put his mask back on. He's like, yo, you okay? Yeah, put your mask back on, strap him back down.
Yeah, he shows up. Like, he's
testing with him.
Where what's his name was saying, like, you barely come in, you're not even around, like, da 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 da.
No, we can watch the movie again. This is not something we should have to, like, talk about on the podcast because we both just watched it. I'm telling you, Will was in the room doing tests with 113 because he was the one that wanted to start the test. But it was once they continued to move forward with it is when he's decided not to stop. But he had already started tests and he was in the room with Franklin when Franklin got infected.
Jacobs clears the development of a more powerful gaseous version of the drug ALZ-113. Will tells him it can improve intelligence, blah, blah, blah.
Everybody tell Nate he's wrong.
I'm going to have to look up the video on here. But I guess, okay, so, but what I said about still stands because there's like a very clear scene of like Will saying this is too dangerous, we shouldn't be messing with
but
this.
But at that point, he's too late because he was kind of part of the reason as to why it spread because he was in the room helping with the test when it did happen. And again, I'm okay with them switching. I kind of like the dichotomy that they kind of switch places. The guy who's in charge and then Will, that they switch like...
But it doesn't really make a lot of sense for me is because, I mean, you know, why is that, you know, business guy, never going to call him anything else than that, is so afraid of, you know, this not being ready and blah, 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 blah. And then he totally switches positions. He's like, no, let's just push it through. Nothing bad can happen from this. You know what I mean? He totally like switches his mind for no seeming reason. For seemingly no reason.
So, I agree with you to a certain extent because when he just jumped on, he's like, I did it on my father and it works. He does switch a little quickly, so I can understand that because I was a little bit taken off by it. A little bit. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I'm realizing that that guy is driven by money. That's all he's driven by. So the reason that they shut it down in the first place was because it went so bad that the monkey crashed through the window and all their investors on it were like, shut that down. And he's like, I can't be seen with this because the business will go down. I'll be out of money. The second he knows that, like, for real, that it's working and it's been 10 years later, he's willing to give him another chance because the opportunity of that kind of money. Because at first it was just to cure like Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. When he found out that it can do more than that, he's like, all right, now we can make big bucos. It's been a long time. Maybe I'll try to kind of set this up to allow him to test, you know, because time did pass and that helps the situation. So I can let it go. I can see that it does seem a little sudden, but with all those factors and he's driven by money.
Because again, if you're worried about it's not fully tested, bad things can happen from it. And that would impact the business side of your research company. And it's the same setup.
Regardless, you still have to test the stuff. The incident that happened with the ape that broke through the window and they had to shoot it and kill it on the table was what basically drove the investors to be like, this is completely out of control. When you let time pass, like there's been plenty of things that, you know, people invest in and all that kind of stuff and then it goes awry, and then once some time passes, things calm down, they can kind of start it up again. Like, I can understand that when that kind of money is involved, once they find out that the drug has a lot more use than just Alzheimer's, it's like, I can make even more money off this. All right, I'm willing to like let you try this. Let's give it another shot.
I get what you mean. I just wish that the movie framed it more, like, actually, because the movie doesn't blame James Franco at all. Like, it doesn't have any scenes or implications that James Franco's to blame for what happens. You know what I mean?
I mean, no, not necessarily. But at the same time, like, you don't know until this next movie. Until this next movie that it's going to create this giant widespread thing. They give you obviously like a foreshadowing, like, this isn't good, it's spreading kind of thing. But to then kind of, you would have to show that it's spread a lot and that he's taking repercussion from it. And I just think there's a lot you would have to do to try to put that in there. And so it doesn't really upset me a lot that it wasn't.
While I was watching it, I thought it was a missed opportunity because you kind of have like a Frank, like a parallel with like Frankenstein kind of a thing, you know, but either way,
I wrapping that up is why I was okay with it was the fact that there, I feel a little bit like I know that James Franco's character Will did not do everything the way he should. He is part of the reason as to why Caesar felt the way that he did, with, you know, being leashed up in college and all that kind of stuff. Like, he didn't treat him horribly or anything like that. And at the end of the day, like, he knows and he appreciates Will and says he is a good man. And that's why at the end he has to kind of go out on his own. And Will finally accepts that and lets him go. He's like, all right, you are home now. Go, kind of thing. But at the end of the day, like, I mean, Will is a little bit to blame for some of that. He is kind of to blame for the disease. And it's interesting because you see his character development, because at the beginning, I think he did look at these monkeys as kind of a tool. But then once he started to raise Caesar, he kind of appreciates it and then realizes maybe he's treating him more as a pet, tries to save it. But by saving it, he makes this disease, and which, again, he doesn't necessarily know. So maybe that would have added a little more weight if he kind of found out that he is part of the reason behind that. But at the end of the day, he has this character development and character change. But it's interesting because at the end of that, he's kind of too late. He's created this thing. And then by the next movie, it's like, dude, he's gone. He was kind of the downfall of it. And sure, they didn't harp too much on it. But for me, it was enough.
I don't think they talk about it at all.
No. Not as far as it being him. I'm just saying that I understand that as an audience member, because I know what happened in that first movie. So that was enough for me, because then we can focus on Caesar and what he's doing. I don't know. I thought it was a good balance. I enjoyed it so much. And I guess we'll talk more about exactly James Franco and how he plays the character. But this is one of my favorite things that James Franco's in. I think he did a good job. I haven't seen 127 Hours, and I want to see that really bad.
Yeah, I mean, and this was kind of an interesting time, because actually this is around when that came, when that 127 Hours came out. And James Franco was like hot shit in like the weird early 2010s or late 2000s. He was in like a bunch of stuff, often as like, I don't know, I feel like the lead romantic like interest, like in a bunch of stuff and kind of like that. But man, I'll tell you what, I mean, I know we're not talking about it, but it's hard not to compare. And Dawn, I feel like Dawn of the Planet of the Apes has a much stronger human cast than this movie does. Now, I do really like John Lithgow, who is his dad. His, like, portrayal of Alzheimer's did get to me a little bit. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Because I totally, because, man, Alzheimer's is such a terrible disease. And I really like that as, like, a framing device as far as it makes sense. I don't know if it exactly makes sense as far as the science behind it, as far as, like, testing, you know, if something that could repair brain cells make apes smarter. I don't know. But it makes sense to, from an audience perspective, from the general guy. It's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And Alzheimer's is a real thing. And I can understand how they're trying to do all this stuff, or why he's so motivated and all that kind of stuff. But man, I tell you what, especially in this, it really kind of feels like it shows in the second half of this. I just don't really get much of a emotion out of Franco. He's just kind of doing the same face over and over again. Just kind of this monotone, nothing. I mean, I don't know.
I disagree, because like when he tries to get Caesar back, and then he basically tells he was pissed off at the guy who was basically like, yeah, sometimes a new guy gets picked on, and
yeah,
then he's like,
he
slammed
angry
up
at him. Yeah.
But what's wrong at that point? Like, a lot of the second half is like he's upset and angry until they escape, and then he's like, oh no, where's he going? And he does give a similar face of like astonishment and shock and awe and all that kind of stuff, but it fit for me. And to be honest, I don't want to go too into detail into the second one, because we're going to talk about that
in
depth.
No, like I said.
But for me, I really liked this human cast. It was smaller than the second one, mm-hmm. I think, as far as the people that really kind of directly interact with, like, Caesar and stuff.
Right.
But I liked it because I felt like it really added to Caesar's character and helped you understand why Caesar kind of makes this hard switch into what he kind of becomes. Is very much predicated upon how he's brought up and the things he's experienced, and then the things he's experienced from the other humans with the other apes, where all these other apes are only seeing the bad parts of the humans. I really thought this was a beautiful, like, especially the second half, or the first half being, I don't want to say slower, but like obviously the action, everything picks up at the end.
Sure.
This just feels like it's not necessarily trying to just do a story arc in this. Mm-hmm. It feels like the beginning of something, but in such a good way. Like, it was very entertaining. It didn't feel, of course, I'm waiting for more, but it didn't feel like I was left without anything. Like, it was a perfect, like, origin story almost for me. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I like this movie. I've definitely kind of, it's gone up from just okay to above average in my book. I just think that James Franco's character goes through a lot of all the stuff with his father, and he's, you know, very Termulus' work history, and then obviously all the stuff with Caesar. And I just don't, when I watch him on, it's very hard to quantify exactly, you know, just because in words, you just kind of have to look at it. But man, when I'm watching him, I just don't care about it seems like he doesn't care, just playing it. I just don't see it in his face and how he emotes and stuff like, and how he portrays it. Just seems like Franco's range is really kind of limited as far as this kind of stuff goes. That's just me. I wasn't his biggest fan. So there was the beginning of this movie is a little interesting to me because it has so that whole instance we described where Bright Eyes, which is Caesar's mother, is kind of the first one to gain intelligence from 112, and she you know, does all the stuff, and then she's then the one, you know, getting out of her cage, you know, kind of beating some people up, and then ends up getting shot and killed and kind of defunds the project. And we find out it was because she was defending her newborn, like, primate kid, who is Caesar, who they end up, James Franco ends up having to take home. How do they not know that she was pregnant and doing this stuff? I mean, this is like max level incompetence for the wranglers at this company. You know what I mean? Like, if you're doing tests with apes, the people you hire to handle the apes know a thing or two about apes, right? I mean,
yeah.
That is, and they just obviously, and especially since you're doing, like, you're injecting them with a chemical that's supposed to make them smarter, you're testing them all the time. Blood, like, you would know that they were pregnant.
I feel like because apes are more humanistic than a lot of animals, that they show those signs. Yeah, I feel like they would show signs.
No, I mean, for real, I think that too. And also, like, they have, it's not
like,
like
other animals when they get pregnant, it's like they're pregnant. It's like, are they?
It's, yeah, like, it's like a cat, right? Like, all of a sudden,
or a
they
cow.
Just.
Cats, even at least, could be. I feel like, yeah, like a cow, mm-hmm, you'd never know.
But a farmer would know. Like, you and I? No.
Right.
But a farmer would. So
right,
the people, right. You know what I mean? Like, it's.
I just looked up photos of a pregnant ape.
Is that fucking uh-oh stinky right there, dude?
Oh, man.
Oh, no. But, you know, I mean, that's like a kind of a big oversight for me. That was a little bit of a hard pill to swallow. But, you know, it's not a huge deal to destroy the movie. But it is kind of like a wow. And plus, even if their tactic of trying to wrangle Bright Eyes at the beginning is like, okay, we'll put her favorite, was that when they used the fizzy drink
in the very beginning.
We'll put her favorite fizzy drink, and then right when she goes to reach for it, we'll swing the door open and use this tiny lasso to try to get her.
Well, guess what, it didn't work.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, what the fuck was that plan? Who are they? Like, I swear, it's like they hired you and me to work the monkeys. You know, a terrible plan. Honestly, Franklin should have been fired. It's so surprising that he's still there, like, years later to even do further testing, because holy crap, he is, like, how would this story have gone if he was just semi-competent at his job?
I mean,
Bright Eyes would have stayed in. They would have, oh shit, she's pregnant. Now we have two smart apes. They would have continued with 112. 113 would have never been made. They would have potentially cured Alzheimer's.
That's not
and then
true.
Had 113
might have been made. You might not have had Caesar at Franco's house, at Will's house. Because regardless, he's doing this.
Well,
for
no,
his...
because 113 was only made because he went to human trials. Like, he just tested it on his dad. He was just like, there you go. And then they figured
it
out later.
Regardless, they test the new trials when they. Regardless, they're going to find out that apparently on humans, it'll, or whatever, that it'll slowly create antibodies. They're going to have to make something more aggressive. And again, with the aggressive one, they still did it on apes. It's the fact that guy's mask fell off. Franklin,
and
man.
He just, like, got sick. They didn't, like, quarantine him or anything. They didn't do anything about it. He'll be fine.
Well, I'm sorry, but that is one part that is the dumbest part of this, is that it was never shown that he went to a doctor. He's sneezing blood and he died in his bedroom watching TV. Sounds
me.
Like you, dude.
That's me. Shit, I'm Franklin.
So yes, exactly. It'd be you and me is basically who they hired.
Yep.
And you're Franklin and you die
That's
because
insane.
You don't,
like,
want to go to a doctor.
Man, I guess don't lie on your resume, because... It really
man,
does
Franklin
seem like
is
Franklin.
You, man. Lying on your resume, getting jobs you're not qualified for, to then get sick, and then not go to the doctor.
Well.
Man, that's great. You are Franklin.
I guess it's more realistic than we thought.
I'm telling you, bro.
But the fact that he didn't get fired still blows my mind. But yeah, again, not a big deal. So let's see. What do I have in my notes here as far as this movie goes?
So the first, I like the first like moment where they go to the Redwoods and he puts out his hand to like ask for permission because that plays a huge role in like future movies and stuff. It's cool to
show that like Franco apparently in like the past 5 years has done no research into like how monkeys communicate or chimpanzees, apes, you know, communicate with each other or anything like that.
But I guess that's a normal thing. Yeah.
The vet knew it.
Yeah,
and she's
right.
Like she's just a vet. You know, she has to worry about all animals. He's owned a chimp for like 5 years.
Also,
and he's never looked up.
How the
YouTube
heck was he just able to take Caesar to a zoo vet? He just took him to a zoo.
Well, even at the time, it's like, I think they've passed a law since then about like owning chimps and exotic animals. But at the time, like I said, people owned chimps.
But again, going to a zoo and like put him in a cart where he's kind of covered or whatever, like you can't just bring your animal to a zoo vet and be like, work on this. It'd be like, there's a lot more
logistics
than that.
Probably need some paperwork, yeah, which I guess he must have forged at some point because he does kind of steal him from a laboratory. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not quite sure what the laws there on, you know, how you get your, I don't know, maybe you did it under the table.
Some good storytelling was when you first meet the dad, Will's dad,
yep.
And he's playing the piano, not great. And then
he was
obviously
really fucking up Claire de Lune.
And then when he gets the vial of stuff,
yep.
And then Will wakes up and hears him playing the piano. I was like, oh, cool. I like how they like set that up. You know, it was very simple, but I just throw a little homage to
that. I definitely feel
down.
Like I've seen that in other movies. I can't say that, you know, I have, but yeah, everything with John Lithgow and him having Alzheimer's.
And
is
again,
very effective
another thing
on
that
me.
I like is they don't just have somebody who's like, I'm trying to come up with a cure for Alzheimer's. They humanize him by giving him a reason to be doing these tests and to why Will does sometimes go to the extreme to make sure that he gets, you know, those tests. And again, it was kind of the downfall of humanity by making 113, which that's why it's like
focused on it a little bit more. I would like it
so
much
but
more.
Here's the thing too is who's to blame? Because of course he was working on it. Mm-hmm. Tons of other people were working on it. Medicines always have side effects. So at the end of the day, is it just him to blame? It's like, it's not like, I don't know. It seemed like at least he was trying to go about it the right way and testing them, which again,
well, that's the thing. That's what I like more is that that's why I was saying they should have changed it where he should have been the one trying to streamline and push it out to people as fast as possible. I feel like, cause that would have made it more effective because he had good intentions, but he ends up fucking everybody over by the end of it. And I thought that would have been really like,
so you think you should have went to even more extreme, like a little more.
Like, because I hate the conversation that he has with the business guy that's basically like, no, we should, like, Franco like is kind of flips and he's like, no, we should stop, this is going too far, like, you know, this isn't right, but basically the thing where and then obviously classic evil capitalist businessman just wants to make a bunch of money. Like, that's boring. I don't care about that. What I thought it would be cool is if they have, you know, good guy wants to do good thing for good reasons, but fucks everybody over by doing it. That's a turn. That's a different thing that you don't see all the time. It's not like brand new, but, you know, I mean, it would have been a little cool and it would have had a little bit of like the, I don't know, like kind of making Franco sort of like an antagonist in his own story while also being a protagonist.
I can give you that's a little, that would definitely be a little different and maybe a good way to tell it. But the reason I liked it this way was because I liked the fact that he was not just this awful guy. And I know that you're saying that he wouldn't be awful, but he'd go into these extreme lengths to where he's like more of an antagonist than he really was.
But that's the thing,
he's not made
he gets
to be an antagonist.
His cake and eats it too. It's like,
no, but the reason I like this is because it shows that he is somewhat still of a normal person. You know what I mean? Like, he is definitely trying to go to these lengths, but he's not trying to go overboard. He's a normal person who's, he even has Caesar, he's treating him well, but even what a normal person is doing by, you know, leashing up his ape and going to somewhat of full extremes, they didn't have to blow it out of the water to show that there's still repercussions for what happened. Now, again, you're not linking it directly to
this
Will,
movie
to James
blame Franco at all.
Not what I'm saying. Yeah. That's my point. There are repercussions to what he did, but it's not just because of him and solely him and because he did this thing so extremely. And I like that because they didn't have to push it that extreme to progress the story. That's what
I'm
saying.
Why is it important for Franco to seem normal?
I think it just helps humanize his character and helps you realize that even though that he's more of a normal character, still trying to treat Caesar well. He's trying to treat Caesar well, but then Caesar still has repercussions from still what it's like. Even though you're trying to do this and trying to do it the right way, there are still things that are still affecting Caesar in ways that you might not be able to tell if it was pushed to the extreme. Because when it's pushed to the extreme, it's very clear. It's almost a little. It might be a little too clear. I like the subtleties of it. That's all I'm saying.
I think the point is that the way he doesn't have to be normal for you to relate to him. The way you relate to him is that how common is it that you know somebody or have a family member that or somebody that's close to you that has a sickness and you feel helpless against. That's why. You justify the extremes that he goes to because you understand why he would do it because you're like, well, fuck, if I was a scientist who could create the cure for whatever ailment was, you know, that hurt my personally, I would do the same thing. So that's what, so we excuse the extreme even though overall it's bad for everything that it ends up being the problem.
That.
So that's why I think it would have been interesting and him being normal.
That's
I don't
the
give
thing
a fuck
is I've seen that too much. I've seen movies where they push somebody to the extreme and then you justify it by that. So I'm not saying it can't work. Sometimes it works great. The reason I like this is because I feel like he was still he kept a monkey and did testings on him for years and years and years, showing that he is dedicated to get this done. He went back in, he got approval for more testing, all that kind of stuff. He went to the extremes. I like the fact that they didn't feel like they had to go to an extreme to still make the subtleties work for me, and it didn't work as well for you, and that's fine. Now we're getting to the point where I can understand why you feel that personally, but I like the idea that they didn't feel like they had to push it to an extreme, whereas for somebody like you, you might have felt like you got the point across better. But I don't know. I liked it
because it's not just the and this is, we'll wrap it up here. It's not just the idea that because you said you had seen this in other movies, and I'm trying to think of an example, and I can't think of one. Like I said, I don't think it's a brand new idea what I'm proposing here, but the idea of that, like you as the audience, heavily sympathize with the actions of the main character, and you almost want him to do those things because you want to see his dad be okay, you want to see him live with Caesar, you want everything to be right. But the logical, the unsympathetic, the robotic answer in you is saying no, you like this isn't the way to do it, and it ends up being right. That's the part that where, and then the movie actually says no, he's the villain, even though you're sympathizing him throughout the whole thing, and you understand, and you'd almost say I'd do the same thing if I was in his position. That's what I'm chasing after for. I think that we've had obviously characters want to do good thing for good reasons, and then I'm fucking up. That's not what I'm saying. That's too basic. It's more than
right.
that, I guess.
No, I get it. I'm not saying that can't work, and I'm not saying it can't work well, but I think Caesar, not a lot, but has a couple of those moments to where it gives it enough for me. For example, when Caesar kills that guy who's been torturing them in the sanctuary or whatever, and he has his little taser and he sprays water on him and he just completely fries him.
Yeah.
Like Caesar does a couple things towards the end of this where you're like, you understand why he's doing this.
Yeah.
But you're like, there are points where like, is he going too far? But you're just rooting for Caesar this whole time. And there are a couple extremes that happen. So I liked that they didn't, because again, in the next movies, they push it to more extremes. That's why I like this setup that's a little more subtle in those, which worked for me and I guess didn't work for some others, which I don't know. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I guess I just wish that I love all the Caesar stuff. I just wish the B story was a little bit more interesting. But I thought this was funny too. The you were talking about that Redwood scene where they first go to the Redwood and you ask for permission and stuff. So, well, obviously, and they go back to the Redwoods periodically, and Caesar starts getting the vibe that he feels more like a pet than a person.
Yeah, first time he sees the dog
and stuff like that. I love right after that, like Caesar gets in the front seat and he's like trying to think of, and Franco's like, okay, let's go. Takes him to his work and goes, your mom died over there. Lol. Drives. I was like, whoa, he just dropped this bomb on him, dude. Like, what about what Caesar was doing made Franco think it was a good idea to go tell him, man, I know you're feeling like a pet and stuff like that. Also, your mom died over there.
Well, he asked, he's like, what am I? At that point, he's having like an internal crisis. Was it a little harsh? Maybe. But I think that Will thought he was at a certain age where he's like, at some point, I got to tell him what the heck's going on. I can tell he's intelligent enough now because he's only growing in intelligence. If I wait, it's probably going to be worse.
You just got to be careful because obviously these are dangerous animals.
That's another mistake that he might have made. That's the thing is like, I was like, oh, that's a little harsh. And I like that it felt a little harsh. Again, that's something I like. But
yeah,
at the same
I understood why he did it.
No, it is
something I was thinking while I was watching it. It's almost good for the movie that it was shown that way, that he does make that
mistake.
The
only thing that
really
I kind of don't understand, well, no, that's not true, is the fact that his girlfriend, fiance, wife, whoever she was at this time, had no idea. But I guess I can kind of understand that.
Man,
because,
yeah,
like, maybe he just doesn't want to talk about it, just want to hide it.
Do they? Don't, yeah. Isn't that? So, like,
they have a time lapse of him in the trees.
Date, and then, boom, it's like 5 years later.
Well, because, they have a time lapse of Caesar in the trees of getting older and older, which I thought was dope.
Yeah.
Time lapse sometimes don't work great, and
one
I
liked
it.
This movie was obviously heralded for its CG for On All the Apes, obviously, because and it was like, I think it was one of the first movies, I think I read this, that used mocap on, like, on location in places in the current way, which is sounds weird because I know that they did that for Lord of the Rings. I don't know exactly what that means, but obviously a lot of the stuff, but this movie does have some, like, CG flaws. It's not perfect. It's not as good as I quite remember it, but it's still really, like, technically well done. Well, I don't know. What did you think watching the just the literal computer graphics of all
that
stuff?
Thought it was, it's very well done, but there were some moments where I was like, I can tell is that an ape's not really there.
Yeah, like, that time-lapse-y thing was it started feeling a little rubbery for me. That's why I 100% love that
but
scene.
But especially
in particular
for the time that this was made?
2011, so 2010. Yeah, for sure. I mean, holy shit, this movie kicks the Hobbit movies' ass.
Yeah.
And this one's before, at least before the last two. I can't remember when the first one was made, but around the same time. And it's way better.
And props to dang, I said
Andy
his name Serkis. Earlier. Yeah, I was like, I can't remember.
Oh, you know, it's funny. I just, right before I rewatched this, I just happened to rewatch King Kong 2005.
I didn't even realize that he was King Kong 2005, but I found that when I was looking up facts about this movie.
If somebody knows how to play monkey, dude, it's Andy Serkis.
I guess so. let's see what I got here.
The King Kong CG is amazing too. For in it 2005, and the ape
really
CG on King Kong in that movie rivals this one.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. While rewatching it, so
I haven't seen it.
It is really good. You've never seen that movie?
No.
2005. Wow.
King Kong.
Holy shit! It's really long. I watched the extended cut, which was 3 hours.
That's one of your favorite movies, and you were talking about doing that for one of our podcasts, and I told you I'd have to watch it. You know I've seen it.
Oh,
we talk about it a lot.
You tell me you haven't seen stuff all the time. I have to always ask for it.
So we're at the point, because we've covered, I'm kind of going down the the list a little bit as we kind of talk about stuff.
Right.
Something I skipped over. I liked seeing Caesar in action for the first time, where he, like, goes after that guy when he's protecting, because we talked about it a little bit, protecting his Will's dad, just to see him, like, go, like, full out, because obviously through this whole movie you're seeing him kind of be this lovable ape, but then you kind of get a sneak peek as to what he can do, and completely, like, bites off that dude's finger.
Yep. Which, that guy is funny, man. That actor who plays the asshole neighbor. He's one of these character actors who pops up and stuff, and I really like him. He was in that Stargate Atlantis show that I feel like I've referenced a couple times. That actually had Jason Momoa in it too. and he was also in those terrible Cube movie, or at least one of them. He was in the first Cube movie that came out, and it's really funny. And he, for some reason, the first time I ever saw him, I thought it was Quentin Tarantino because they look kind of similar to me. And the kind of, you know, on the face, he kind of looks like Quentin Tarantino. Slightly better looking version of Quentin Tarantino a little bit. I don't know. That's just me. But I like that act. I mean, he's playing like just an asshole in this, you know. Although it's kind of reasonable a little bit. I don't like how he treated when he was mad about the guy getting in his car, but because, I mean, you know, you have insurance. It's not a big deal, you know.
But there's people like that, man.
It's not unrealistic. I'm just saying that, like, most of his actions, like chimpanzee coming into his yard around his kids, I would totally understand as upset as he got, if not more. Like, yeah, for sure. Dude, chimpanzees are dangerous.
I mean, I guess.
They literally, right before this movie came out, one ripped off a woman's face.
Yeah.
if you, it's just like, oh man, people are going to be upset if I make the pit bull comparison. But honestly, it's, you know, it's even further than the pit bull because they are not domesticated animals.
I wouldn't even make the pit bull comparison because I know that that's like,
I would say it's worse than the pit bull.
Well, I say that because, like, I've never met a mad pit bull, bro. Like, I've seen a lot of pit bulls.
Yeah, but statistically speaking, they're the ones that attack people the most, and they are bred to fight,
unfortunately.
Well,
they I guess maybe they still are, but I think they were.
They're not. I mean, they are probably illegally, but I'm saying like they have the build. So until the like what we know of the pit bull, because I mean, if you just look at them, they're all chest and big, leggy front arms and huge wide mouth for biting. And like
they could just be good protectors, but I think like
Yeah,
I think it's just unfair to like. Make
but imagine,
that comparison.
Imagine you have two young daughters, and you look out in your back fenced in thing, and there's just some pit bull back there.
I think if I saw any dog, I saw any dog,
well,
it was a big
chihuahua.
Dog, like
yeah,
a bigger
like a
dog. You know what I mean?
Rottweiler, German Shepherd.
Right,
one
right.
Of those,
that's the thing is I would be freaking out if I was an animal in my backyard at all. I didn't know, so I can understand being upset.
And I actually own one of my dogs is half pit. So yeah. don't
and
flame
dog,
me. And that dog literally couldn't. Oh my god.
Yeah. My Maverick was half pit.
Yeah, it's very common around, especially around here, to have pit in the dog. But yeah. Man, Maverick did not look like
you actually
any pit.
I know we talk about this, but I wonder if you actually look at the statistics, like those animals, like pit bull compared to other ones. I don't care. I don't really care enough about that, but I'm curious now. We're pretty much getting close to the point that the biggest moment of this movie, one of the biggest that we haven't talked about.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, always. That's a goosebump scene for
every
sure.
Every time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I got
you
goosebumps.
Know what's coming? Like it's one of the iconic things from this. I don't know how getting smarter makes you have, like, vocal cords that can make. Because, I mean, like, I'm pretty sure, you know, because, like, some animals, like birds and stuff like that, can mimic other people, and like, you know, parrots and all of stuff. That's how they can speak. But, like.
But they're still dumb.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to an extent, yeah. But, I'm curious on if a chimpanzee could actually, if they were intelligent enough, you could teach them to speak, because they can understand language.
Yeah.
Because there are, especially orangutans are really fucking smart, and obviously they can teach them to sign a lot of stuff, but I don't think they have the vocal and capability, like physically, to actually kind of make and sound like people. Because Caesar, it sounds kind of almost painful for him to talk a little bit. Like, it's not easy.
Right.
But it does sound human. So I'm just curious. It doesn't really matter for the movie's sake. It might be more so that they just don't. Oh.
They could not.
They
could. I was looking up.
Oh, yeah.
Monkeys and apes lack the neural control over their vocal tract muscles to properly. Oh, never mind. I thought it said something else. Results suggest, anatomically speaking, MACUES. I don't know.
Oh, that.
Are perfectly well equipped for human like speech. Oh, wait. Yeah, apparently they can.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Yeah, because I was saying, like, lacking the neurological thing is okay, because literally
the drug
gives them new, basically
yeah,
gives them new
fully,
brain.
Sorry.
I don't
new brain.
Just extra brain starts growing.
New brain
in there.
Drug. I'll take some of that, please. Who doesn't want some new brain drug? You know,
new brain drug.
So, when he says no, the first time he ever speaks is just man, just again, in the way they lead up to that. That's the thing. Is another thing about this movie is if you just jump into a movie where apes can talk, you're gonna be like, this movie's ridiculous.
Yep.
The way they build up how it happens, the characterization, the way that he speaks, the mannerisms,
right.
When he does it, it's not like, what? You got it. But this is dumb.
Man,
it gives you chills. You're like, oh my gosh, it's so good.
And I really,
and I that's why I applaud this movie. They do things that I've seen other movies do that just make it silly, but they know how to build the characters and the situations and the relationships and the mannerisms to make it feel something to you. That's why I like it.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, they definitely take a concept that we've kind of infinitely goofed throughout our culture, you know, ever since the first one came out, and made it serious and like, and you actually believe it.
Yeah,
you know?
That's why in the second movie, and I like they don't try to force it, make it too quick, because in the second movie when they talk more, and we'll talk about this more in the second movie, but
it's still
not a lot, but it's a lot more than the first one. But this movie, all he says, I think the only lines are no, and then whatever he says to Will at the end, where he's like, "This is home."
Oh,
Caesar is home.
Yeah.
Something, and there might be one other moment, but
I'm pretty sure that's it. I was going to say, I forgot about the Caesar line, because I know the first thing he says in the next movie is go. So I was like,
and that's just as chilling.
Yeah.
Not quite as much, but almost.
But yeah, I do love a lot that they don't really speak, and it's a bigger part in the second movie. but that they still have their own ways of communicating outside of speech. It really helps keep it grounded, because if like, imagine, you know, like the scene where all the, like, Caesar's like in front of all the apes while they're still in captivity and they're like plotting and stuff like yeah. that. Imagine if Caesar was like, all right, guys, so what we're gonna do, you know, like, he's just chill. That would, yeah, that would,
let me explain it to you like you're five. You've only had this medicine for a couple days, so
literally. Oh, so okay. There's one thing we got
to
talk about.
Explain it to me like I'm five.
Yeah. No, but
so it's like mom and dad give you money for a lemonade stand. Mm-hmm. This is from The Office.
So the apes and Caesar particularly's level of intelligence seems to kind of ebb and flow like a kind of a weird way, because he goes from being, like we talked about earlier, from like having kind of a complex conversation, not actually talking, but understanding what Franco's telling him
yeah.
as far as like, this is where I work, this is where your mother died, the kind of that stuff. And then he gets into the enclosure and he runs into a wall thinking it's the sun. Like, think, like, the painted wall tricks him. And I'm like, really, dude? What the hell? Like, that's it. Like, there are a couple moments like that where yeah. he's smart, and then he's dumb, and then he's smart
yeah,
again.
The drugs are still working, you know.
And then, big thing, he has evolved over... I don't exactly understand how the drugs work, because he has, like, gotten smarter and smarter over time. Because he kind of was kind of given the drug by his... He was never directly injected with the drug, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so it's interesting because, like, the human... Like, when Will gives it to his dad, he has to be re-injected every, like, month, once a month.
Well, that's for people. I'm talking about just for
right,
apes.
But that's what I'm saying. So yeah. for this, you don't have to be, I guess.
Well, not only that, but it seemed like he wasn't injected, but he learned slowly over time. Like, his intelligence... Franco's even like, look at his IQ there and there. And it makes
sense. It's like connected to the part of your brain that just progresses your
Because he's, like,
knowledge.
Aging, right? Like, you can only be so smart at 5. You will
right.
naturally be much smarter at 15. Right. So, but he gives the second drug, the gas version of the drug, to the other apes... and they seem to catch on real fucking
well,
quick.
Well, it is more aggressive. The
yes.
whole purpose was it was more aggressive.
So my second point is, wouldn't they eventually
outsmart
him, basically?
Maybe
wouldn't
not.
They,
maybe it just
wait,
allows
a cap?
You to start.
Did they, where they're at, maybe at the end or even...
Maybe just clicks faster? I don't know.
See, it's a little
but I
just fuzzy.
Don't care enough. Is that bad? Should I? No, really, should I? I don't know. I
it's
just,
not
the way
a huge
it's presented,
deal. It's not
I feel
a big,
like
world-breaking thing. Well, I mean, kind of, where we go into the second movie where he's, like, the leader and kind of shows, like, you know, they're all kind of on a level. It implies that they've either reached their cap, which doesn't seem right, because it feels like they could keep getting more and more progressively intelligent to where, because, I mean, they're basically, like, you know, they make it to, like, kind of the rough stone age and mm-hmm. in the second movie, you know, they're living in sticks. It's not like they're like, yes, pass me a transistor, Bob. Like, you know, like, they're, you know, it's not, there's more for them to go.
Yeah, just wait, because the original Planet of the Apes movies, they're just walking around like
yes,
time normal
yes.
people. They'll get there.
They're
you know,
still riding
cool.
horses, which is kind of weird.
That's
but.
Dope. I love the fact that they yes. ride, like, yeah, I don't know. But
so,
I'm not,
yeah, that's second movie stuff still, but
no,
well,
there's
they do
first
it a little
movie.
Bit. A little, I'm saying that there's a shot of them showing up at the city
yep,
in the
we'll
second.
Get there.
Yeah, sorry. Although another shot at the end of this movie that I really, really love is they're all the one of the animal control guys captures one of the apes and is dragging him back, and he's in his van, and a fucking like stake spear just goes through his car, and he looks up, and they're just all up on there with spears, and
so
someone
good.
Hands Caesar another one, and he's like,
"That's my point." Is like that's a ridiculous
yeah.
scene,
mm-hmm.
but the way they set this up, man, and that's another thing I'm trying to articulate, which
yep.
I think we've done a good job. I think I've done a good job is I'm saying what I think is main good, but what do they do to do that? Like, what do they do to like I was saying the character is
yeah.
the way they set.
No, like
but I'm
said,
trying to go into
Caesar stuff all. Great. I'm just a little disappointed with a little bit of the human stuff
yeah.
with Franco and his boss.
So, like I was saying, the way they did the characterization, I want to try to give a good example. To me, I like that they show mistakes, and again, not as heavily and focused as to it being on.
Mistakes
I think they
from
show
Caesar?
Mistakes. Yes,
yeah.
But they show mistakes from Will a little bit, but it's not as like you don't see as many repercussions. As clear. I understand that. But for
I mean,
the subtleties, I like it. Right. The subtleties
but,
I like.
Yeah.
But when you talk about Caesar, where he killed the guy, he felt kind of bad. He looked like he felt bad about it. He's like, oh,
yeah.
snap.
Well, because it wasn't his intention. I don't think he understood that water plus his electric baton would end up in him dying. I don't think he understood
right.
that concept. So, yeah, it was totally kind of just... accidental, and he's like, "Oh shit!"
But yeah, not only are they showing mistakes, but they're showing, even if they don't realize they're mistakes yet, but some of the things that, you know, they do, like that the apes do at the end, where they're attacking, you know, the people, obviously just to kind of get away, like, yeah. So you can kind of understand all that. But some people do die, like they kill somebody.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And I think there's parts of this where you see that,
well,
Caesar sees that, like, he doesn't want to do this, or later kind of is learning, you know, still what is right, what is wrong, the fact that how he's brought up, and he doesn't want to become what the humans did to him. But there are almost moments where it feels like it's getting to that point, even at the end of this first movie, and I like that, because I don't know, it's a really good setup for the next movie, the way they go off into the woods, and he's this... He becomes the leader of this group, but at the same time, even though you're rooting for him and you're super excited, you're like, all right, cool, this is great. And I feel like almost a little part of you is like, just don't lose control. You know what I'm saying? And I like it. And he, like, I don't know. It's showing what I think makes a good leader, and it goes deeper into that, into the next movie, of what makes a good leader, and not just showing the good parts of it, but showing the bad parts.
Yeah. No, for sure. I will say that it takes those San Francisco people a little longer than I expected to get them guns out. You know, they're causing a lot of havoc before they're finally like, okay, let's get a gun.
Oh my gosh!
Imagine if they had done that, if they, instead of San Francisco, they were in Dallas, Texas. every motherfucker would be shooting monkeys in the street.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, a little bit of a shorter movie. I just thought that was funny.
Like, there's
like, they send horse cops with batons. Like, that's a ridiculous scene in my head. Is that like, you send, like, all right, let's get all the horse cops together, get their nightsticks out, and for apes. Like, that is a terrible, even if they're not intelligent, that's a terrible plan.
Yeah.
Apes are way stronger than you. All the time. Like,
yeah.
No, not buying it. That's some brave ass horse cops too. Because like one of them, like the one gorilla guy, like picks him up off the horse and is like about to beat him, and Caesar's like, nah, and he just puts him on the ground and screams in his face.
Oh my gosh, I wrote that down. I literally said, big gorilla rips dude off horse. Caesar yells no, and then he basically just screams in his face to the point of making him wet himself.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I would have lost it. I would have died from pure fright.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was like, yeah, I think I would have just had a heart attack. That cop was just kind of like, what happened?
it was just, then there's that whole scene on the bridge, obviously. Like I said, it got so out of hand, there's helicopters. But again, it made so much sense that it earned it. Like, this movie earned that last scene.
Yeah, and they certainly, I like how they show that the apes are pretty smart. Like, they have that plan where they kind of like have their diversion guys kind of going like under and above on the bridge. And then they have like their main guy pushing the overturned bus and like to kind of get around the gunfire and stuff.
Like, watching Caesar body slam one of the things off the people off the horse was like I literally made those noises when I like was watching him do. I was like, oh dang, because it was just so brutal. And I said another thing, I said, they literally are pushing a bus.
Yeah,
they just flipped it over. I'm like, the tactics that they were able to use was just, it was just super impressive. And then you have the shot after they flip over the bus, they push it, and then they're like, hold your fire. Oh, I got a phone call, guys. I'll be right back. And then when there's like nobody firing, and then you don't see any apes, and there's hiding behind the bus, and there's a silence, and then all of a sudden out of the fog, you see Caesar on the horse. Well, you see the horse coming, but he's laying down so you can't see him. And then he rears up and like does his battle cry, and they all attack from all sides. It was freaking dope. I loved it. And then I'm trying to figure out what else I got here. It was cool to see Will confront Caesar when he was like a leader. Like, he was on the car, they were attacking, and he's like, Caesar! And it's like seeing him go from that one thing or to what he was to that. Just that I saw like the shock on his face and just being like, it was a very interesting time for them to like meet paths again. I thought that was cool. And then,
man, I mean,
you didn't care. I get it.
I know. Just Franco, man. I remember watching the scene the first time he sees him and he yells out to him, and then Caesar kind of sees him but is doing his thing. And then later on, they actually talk for a second. That's where he hears Caesar actually speak and stuff like that. But his face is just, what am I supposed to get from that? He just goes, Caesar.
Yeah, and then he turns around, he's awestruck, and then a helicopter starts shooting at them.
I did
so
not
get much
awestruck from that. I got awestruck when he spoke, and then he was like, "Oh
no, but- no!" There was like a moment of like of almost like disbelief and just like. It's one of those moments you don't really know kind of what to say, what to do. Like, it's a very interesting situation where your ape pet decides to take over the world.
I swear, dude, every time I see James Franco and he's not doing comedy and he's not, like, laughing, he looks exactly the same.
You don't like James Franco. We get it. Cool, cool, cool.
I don't have a big problem with him, but I just feel like, man, if they had gotten some... Maybe they didn't want to get somebody good so that they didn't have a lot of competition with Caesar. They weren't sure, you know?
I liked him. But anyways, then the giant gorilla takes down a freaking helicopter. Another dope scene.
Yep.
And then... The ultimate test, which is another thing for me that showed like the mistakes and all that, whether you consider it a mistake or not, but where I felt like it was an ultimate test for Caesar, where the, you know, head business dude of the whole place is like hanging on to the helicopter. He's like, oh, help me out, help me, and all this stuff. And he just kind of stares at him, and then he just turns around and walks away. It's one of those dilemmas of like, okay, he didn't straight up kill him, but he walked away.
Basically.
So is that
Koba
actually
go
better?
Get him, yeah.
Yeah. So then Koba, which I think is hardcore foreshadowing to the next movie.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Then basically like chucks the helicopter off the edge or like pushes it off the edge.
Yeah, he just kind of gently pushes him and watches him. Yeah, because, I mean, Koba is basically just the... Well, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, I just think that, like... I like that they're not afraid to kill people in this movie. Even other apes and stuff like that, just to show, like, the dramatic weight
just,
to stuff.
I mean, he's kind of just come to the conclusion, I just want to be left alone. I just want to do my thing. Humans and apes shouldn't... our new apes, our intelligent apes, we shouldn't mix.
Right.
We should just have our own separate things. Because he knows that there's good people, and there's bad people, and all that kind of stuff. What?
Why'd you plug my computer in?
I didn't actually fully plug it in.
So why'd you touch it?
Because it was just like moving.
We're done with this
around.
Episode. We'll see you guys next, because I'm pissed now.
No, I mean, for real, that is pretty much all I have to say. It's a above average thing. I think it's... I wish that I could, like, see this, because there has a lot of really cool stuff in here. Again, pretty much everything going on with Caesar, I really love a lot. But, man... I just wish I was a little bit more invested in a lot of the human stuff, and I think that's it's all because of James Franco.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yep.
No, I wish that they had played the plot out a little bit differently. I think it would have been more effective for me, but it is still up there. It's good. I enjoyed going back and watching this.
I will wrap up my opinions with, I wrote this down like either during or like right after.
Good speech, huh?
There's like a couple lines. It's basically exactly what I've been saying throughout this whole thing. But just to wrap it up, it says, Caesar has the constant struggle in doing what the right thing is and figuring out what that is after being treated so poorly, and you feel for him. The character development was on point, especially for an ape. This movie does better character development on an ape than it does for a lot of like other movies do on people. That's the line. That's the thing that stuck out to me.
Dang.
That's what I wrote down.
Dang.
So I really, really like this movie.
Yep.
And if you stick around, we're going to talk about Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
In just a few hours.
Yeah, we're doing two in one day here. But for you, you're going to have to wait a week. So,
yeah.
That's pretty much it. I rate this an 8 out of 10.
Bananas out of 10.
No, I'm kidding. We'll do our ratings, obviously, like we do at the end of the series.
10 cantaloupe. I saw him eating cantaloupe, or 10 bags of cookies, because he has that bag of cookies at that one point. You remember?
So follow us at That's Movies Brother on Instagram. If you want to follow me at Tyler C. Gillette on Instagram, and if you want to follow Nate, he will be sneezing blood on people and not going to see a doctor.
And working at an
obviously
ape
he's unqualified
place.
For.
Yeah.
And
I should be the little fucking Draco. What is that? That fuck ass kid who worked at the ape prison.
Dude, I wouldn't talk to you if you were like that. If you're just beating on animals, dude, I'd hate you.
Just a bunch of you damn dirty
apes.
Yeah,
a bunch of apes. Well, guess what?
Nah.
You're dead. All right, cool. We'll see you guys later.
Bye.